Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast. This is the space and the place for leadership learning. I'm Joanne Smichael. I'm a speaker, an educator, a consultant, and a forever student of the world. Enjoy this episode. Today, I want to talk about trust. It's one of those perennial topics that can't be escaped, and it's something leaders everywhere, I don't care what level of leadership you're at, leaders have to address trust. So let's remember where it starts. It begins with knowing yourself, living your values, and I think living with integrity. Let's think about that self-awareness piece. If you don't really know and accept you, you can't possibly be in touch with your core values. And you're probably also going to be pretty murky on your true motivations. That's the why behind your behavior. The self-awareness or self-knowledge is just foundational in creating alignment between what you say and what you do. You create reliability, and that signals the honesty that starts us on the path to creating trusting relationships. You know, vulnerability is also a component of trusting relationships. And I'm not just talking about personal relationships. I'm talking about professional relationships as well. I just had a conversation with a client just like a couple days ago, and she was telling me that she doesn't ask questions in meetings when she doesn't understand because she doesn't want to look dumb. And what that means to me is that she doesn't trust her colleagues enough to seek clarity. There's a lack of trust there. And of course, I think there's also some insecurity and a lack of trust in herself. What I mean is trusting herself enough to know that asking questions is a sign of interest in the subject and of a person wanting to grow. Frankly, I think asking questions is a sign of intelligence. There's another piece of vulnerability, and that's being able to admit faults. Yep. To own up to mistakes and to acknowledge weaknesses. These are the behaviors that followers look for when they're deciding to trust or not to trust. The other behavior is to be intellectually humble, to admit when you don't know, to seek guidance, to seek counsel, to get information. Sometimes that information is going to come from your peers. Sometimes it'll come from the people that report to you. And sometimes it will come from your boss. And sometimes it will come from people unrelated to your work life. And, you know, this takes me back to the example I was just talking about with the client who didn't want to look dumb. A little intellectual humility would have really helped her to open the door for more learning. Really great thing about demonstrating the qualities I just mentioned, the owning up to mistakes, admitting faults, acknowledging weaknesses, intellectual humility. The really great things is that when you as a leader are able to model these behaviors, that's when you make it safe for other people to do it too. This is how we lay the groundwork for psychological safety. That's when people are comfortable speaking up, speaking truthfully, challenging the norms, and putting some new solutions out there for consideration. Once you have gotten people to trust you, even if it's just a little bit of trust, that's when you can use your consistency, your competence, and your personal accountability to deepen the trust. I think consistency is pretty simple. It doesn't need to be overcomplicated. It's when you behave with integrity all the time, not just when it's convenient and not just when someone's watching. It's just a part of who you are. And if consistency is part of your character, people know. They know you'll be a steady presence who's dependable, even when it's inconvenient. If you're consistent, you follow through or you let people know when you can't. It's that communication that helps ensure that expectations are really, really clear. Dependable behaviors in crisis or under pressure are real, true demonstrations of consistency and overall trustworthiness. You know, one of the things that I should have mentioned and I didn't mention is compassion. I think that that's an unspoken component of trust, showing that you care, that you're not pretending that you care, but you really do, being empathetic to other people, just being a thoughtful human being who realizes that we live in community. We don't live in isolation. It's one of those often unspoken components. And silly thing is, I almost forgot to mention it. Ugh. Okay, let me go back to what I'm talking about. Consistency, competence, and accountability. Competence is oh so basic. Who will trust a leader that doesn't have mastery of their subject area? And I'm not talking about a know-it-all. I'm talking about a learning leader who makes the time for their own professional development. I'm talking about a leader who is constantly in search of new information to enhance the deliverables. I'm talking about a leader who gets evidence to form new ideas. They're not just relying on instinct or shooting from the hip. Competence is also part of that intellectual humility that I mentioned. Having the willingness to ask for help, that's what boosts our competence, because no one of us is as smart as all of us. No one of us knows as much as all of us. When people think or perceive that we're competent, they believe that we have some knowledge, some expertise, and some good judgment. That's what they believe, because that's inherent in competence. Let me get to personal accountability. This is when we hold ourselves to the same standards that we're holding other people to. It's when we understand that the parameters, the policies, and the procedures apply to us as well as everyone else. I think holding yourself accountable is a hallmark of ethical leadership. I'm not saying that we don't have self-compassion, and I'm not saying that we beat ourselves up after every mistake. What I'm saying is that when you set the bar high, we have to work as hard as everyone else to reach that bar. People who hold themselves accountable also ask for feedback. They know they have blind spots and trust other people to help them deal with those blind spots. I want to get more specific on behaviors that spark trust. How do you communicate? Specifically, how do you listen? Do you ask for other perspectives, especially the ones that may not line up with yours? When you ask for those perspectives, do you reflect on them before responding? Are you able to see whole people and hear from diverse voices? Your listening skills go a long, long way in creating comfort and in building rapport. And those are other parts of psychological safety. Next behavior is information sharing. Are you comfortable sharing what it's appropriate to share? Do you keep people in the loop? You know, when there's a lack of communication, people just fill in the gaps with whatever they make up in their minds, with whatever, you know, pieces of gossip they hear in the organization, they will fill in that gap. So it's especially important to communicate when change is coming. You got to give candid, regular updates so people aren't left wondering. When there's nothing to update, say so. Just say that. When you don't have information and are in the dark, tactfully say that. Acknowledge people's fears and their anxieties. If you do that in times of uncertainty, you can still be trusted because you're credible. This trust I'm talking about is built through relationships, and that's the last behavior I want to talk about. Build personal connections. No. Everyone doesn't need to be your bestie, but everyone should feel that they know enough about you and you know enough about them to honor each other as human beings. You got to invest time in one-on-one meetings, and not just when it's time for coaching or evaluations. Make time to simply connect. Just have informal chats. And this is possible in the virtual world. You can schedule a connection Zoom just to get caught up as people. Be sure that you're celebrating milestones, recognizing life events, and doing other things that help to create lasting bonds, because it's the lasting bonds that form trust. Quick summary. I'm going to give you a quick summary. first thing is, to build trust, leaders have to start by knowing themselves. They've got to behave consistently with integrity and demonstrate competence. We all have to also hold ourselves accountable, to show some compassion for other people, not to be so hard on people or harsh in our judgments. And that applies to ourselves, too. We've got to show some self-compassion. We've got to communicate with empathy. Now, I believe that these practices can help us create engaged, committed cultures, even in the most complex environment. Trust is possible. It is possible. It's even probable when you put your energy into creating it and maintaining it. Thank you for listening. Be sure that you subscribe and share. You can get more leadership learning from my YouTube channel and by following me on Instagram. Reach out when you're looking for a speaker to energize your next event. Reach out when you need curated leadership learning for your organization. Reach out when you're ready for consulting that will help your organization fulfill its potential. I'm Joanne Smichael, and thank you for tuning in.